Perhaps you've heard it said, I don't go to church because every time I go, all they do is talk about money. Preacher's always asking for money every time I go. Well, if that's you and you're referring to Eastridge and this preacher, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a long, long time. I rarely preach you on money. Once every few years. You picked the right day. We're glad to have you back. It is just, money is not that important. It is important, but it's not the most important thing that we have to share. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most important thing we have to share. God's sinless Son from heaven to earth, dying on a cross, paying for our sins, raised from the grave, alive today to save anyone who will call on Him and ask Him to save. That's the most important thing I can share with you, and we always try to include that. And if you'll notice, we just now did. And we're not finished with that, but we've got other things to talk about too. I want to ask the question, or try to answer the question, why we give. Why is it important? Why is it just, I don't know, put a dollar in the offering plate. Isn't that all I'm supposed to do? I mean, Mama taught me to do that, so that's why I do it. I think you'll find from the scriptures this morning there's more reasons to give than that. And when you find out the reasons, you might say, oh, I kind of want to get in on that, okay? So let's take a look at the scriptures this morning. There are three basic points that I want to make this morning, beginning in the 24th Psalm, verse 1. It says that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Does that leave anything out?
No.
Nope. So this all belongs to God. The whole planet belongs to God. And everything that's here belongs to God. And the people too, that's us. We have to understand that the Lord owns everything. He owns every penny that's in our pocket. He owns the pocket. He owns the pants that has the pocket in it, and He owns us too. He owns us by right of creation and giving us life. But if you've been saved, He owns you a second time by purchase of the blood of His own dear Son, Jesus.
Amen.
Everything belongs to God.
Yes.
Our problem isn't the reason some people can't stand to give or even hear about giving is they think it's theirs and they got to hold on to it. It's not ours. It all belongs to the Lord. And we're going to be talking about that. We belong to Him, and so everything that we have belongs to Him too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Look at verse 20. For you've bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What part of you gets left out? Nothing. We belong to God 100%. He owns us and everything we are, body and soul. And everything that we consider to be ours really belongs to Him. God gave us the greatest gift He could possibly give us when He gave us His Son.
Yes.
And He offers a free gift of salvation. He offers us forgiveness of our sins and eternal life with Him forever in heaven. God loves us and He wants to bless us. He wants to bless every one of us to the absolute max. And in order to do that, we must trust Jesus and be saved in order to receive the greatest blessings He can possibly give.
Amen.
One other way that He blesses us, what we're going to look at this morning is He blesses us in response to our giving of the tithes and the offerings that belong to Him. You'll see. The world teaches the way you get through life and the way you manage money is simple. Get all you can, put it in a can, put a lid on a can, and sit on the lid. And don't let anybody get it. That's yours. Isn't that the world's philosophy about money? Oh, get it all can all you can, get it in the can, put the lid on the can, sit on the lid. I think I said it right. That's how the world, most people feel. I don't dare let anybody take it away or give it away. My goodness, I earned it. I worked hard for it. Most of us do. But that's not what God says. Look in Luke chapter 6 and look what God says about the stuff that we have that we think is so important that we hang on to and put in the can and put in the lid on it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. That means a lot. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet or you give it, with all it shall be measured to you again. So God says, be generous. Listen, he said, if you want to be blessed, he said, you just simply give it all, and it'll be given unto you, and you'll be blessed. It's going to be coming back to you. God says, I will do that. If he says it will happen, that's telling you that he is behind that statement, and he's the one that's going to make it happen. So that's a promise from God. If we will give and give generously, we'll find that God gives generously back to us. You may say, well, I don't know about that. You don't know how. You know, my wallet's kind of empty and my bank account's not looking too good and I got a whole bunch of bills. I don't know if I can afford to give. Wait, what'd God say? He didn't say if your wallet is overflowing, your bank account's overflowing, you don't have any bills, give it. He didn't say give it out of the surplus. No, he just says give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, run it over. You say, well, I don't know. How can that possibly be when I don't have it? Don't have to have it. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. What did God say? The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Say, I don't have to worry about what's mine. I just need to know about what's his. And I don't have to worry about what's his because nobody can take it away from God. It all belongs to him anyway. A moment ago we read about the heaven and the earth, or the earth and its fullness thereof, and everybody that lives here belongs to him. And he said, now, specifically, he said, if you're concerned about silver and gold, know who really owns it.
Amen.
Boy, there's a lot being said today about our economy and about how it's going to crash and how they're going to take away our currency. But go invest in gold. Have y'all heard any of those advertisements? Have you been tempted? I'm not going to ask you if you bought it or not. I don't care if you do or don't. That's between you and God and the gold. But he says, it's mine. Go buy all you want. It's his. It's his before you buy it. It's his after you buy it. It's still his, right? That's what he says. All of the silver and the gold belongs to the Lord. It's not ours. None of it. Do you think God's worried about the economy? Do you think God's worried about inflation? Does it impact his net worth? Of course not. So when we have a certain amount of money, which we do, and it's under God's blessings that we have what we have or we wouldn't have that, and when we give a certain amount of that money under God's direction, we're simply obeying the wishes of the one who really owns it.
Amen.
Okay? He owns it all. He tells us what to do with it. And if we do what he says do, we're just simply obeying him. That's good stuff. And when he's pleased with our obedient giving, God blesses. Is he pleased with yours? I'm not examining anything. I do not check giving records on anybody except my own home. Okay? And I don't check that real often. So don't worry about it. Brother Allen's been peeking. No, Brother Allen doesn't peek. I'm not the church treasurer. That's not my business. That's between you and God. So don't worry about that. You just need to be concerned. Am I doing with God's money what he tells me to do? Is he pleased with my giving? Let's see something else. Acts 20 and verse 35. He says, it is more, last line, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Everybody likes to receive stuff, receive gifts, whether it's a paycheck or a Christmas present. We like to receive, and we feel good. We're blessed. Amen. He said, you know what's more blessed than that? Being able to give somebody else. There's a greater blessing in giving it away than it is getting it. Give it. When God says, when we give, we will be blessed more than when we receive. So in order to receive the blessings, remember, the God who is the real owner of everything says, give, obey him. Don't be afraid to give generously under God's direction. Do not give a penny more than God tells you to give, but don't give a penny less.
Amen.
Obey Almighty Eternal God on everything. Today we happen to be talking about money, but in every area of your life, make that a rule. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to find out what he wants me to do, and I'm going to obey God. I had a phone call yesterday from my youngest son. I was really kind of surprised. He said, Dad, he said, I'm looking at this truck and I'm thinking about buying it. He showed me a picture of an old truck. He says, what do you think? And it was, the picture didn't look bad. And price tag, sure, well, that sounds cheap. Mileage wasn't real high, if you can believe that anymore on some vehicles, you can't. And you know, he told me what it was, and I said, well, all I can tell you, son, what I do when I'm looking to buy a vehicle, I never buy a new one, I always buy a used one. And so I go look at it, I examine it, and take what little bit I know about vehicles and try to figure out what I'm seeing there. And then I back off and say, well, let me go home, think about this, and I'm going to pray about it and let God tell me if he wants me to have that truck. Real simple. God, I need to know. I want your wisdom. I want your knowledge. God, I need to know. You know, God wants you to know what his will is. He does. He wants us to do his will, and it's hard to do his will if you don't know what his will is. And many times we don't know what his will is because we don't ask. So, son, I said, that's what you do. He said, well, okay. And this is kind of a stretch for him because he's not a real spiritual guy. But anyhow, later on in the day, I got a phone call from him. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I went to look at the truck. I said, well, how was it? He said, it looked just like the picture. He said, it looked good. He said, but when I pulled up alongside of it, he said, I kept smelling like exhaust or something burning, and it wasn't even running. I said, that wasn't a good sign. He said, no. And he said, when he cranked it up, he said, I could hear a lot of noise. I said, he's not a mechanic either. And I said, well, that's not a good sign either. He said, well, I knew that. He said, it's supposed to be quiet on the exhaust side. It's not supposed to be real loud. And it's not supposed to be smoking, is it? No, no. And so he said, I opened the hood, and he said, it was covered in old dirty oil everywhere. I said, that's sure not a good sign. He said, no, I didn't think it was either. And he said, and they had this little pipe sticking up out of there. And I don't know where it came from. I went to the transmission. I don't know one thing from another. He said, I just knew that was not supposed to be an open pipe under there. And he said, I figured it was blowing out of there everywhere. I said, well, did you? No, Dad, I didn't get the truck. He said, oh, by the other thing was, he said, the guy said, look, don't worry. He said, you see the emergency brake handle? He said, yeah. He said, that's how he stops it. I said, you mean the brakes didn't work? He says, no, Beasta, but I got brakes for it right here in the box. Now, see, sometimes when you think your kid isn't all that smart, he's smarter than you give him credit for. He turned that down. Seeking the Lord's will in all things. Okay? The present owner of that old green truck is probably still the present owner of that old green truck. Seek the Lord in all things, no matter what we're talking about. Seek the owner of all the silver and all the gold, because it does belong to him. He does have a perfect will. Whether you should have it or not, seek the Lord, and you'll find that it really is more blessed to give than to receive, just like he said. The more generously we give, the better off we are. Stingy people cheat themselves out of God's blessings. So don't be stingy. And I grew up in a home like some of you. My father went through the Depression. He was tight with the dollar. I mean, he squeezed the nickel till the buffalo came off. And he was notorious for that. I mean, the whole family talked to him about how tight Dad was, and yes, he was. He had good reason to be. He had learned through some hard times that you've got to be very careful with your money. But he became quite a successful businessman. But he wasn't stingy. There was a difference. He was a wise money manager. And he prayed and he asked God to show him about this, this, and this, and this. And he taught me some of that. Was he stingy? No. Was he generous? Sometimes. But I'll tell you this, God does bless generous givers. He does. That's what it says, more blessed to give than to receive. The third thing I want to share with you this morning about this is obeying God brings joy in all areas, even if it's a little green truck that you don't get. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. not grudgingly, or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The picture here is a farmer planting seeds. If he wants a huge crop, he doesn't plant just a few seeds over a lot of acres and expect a bountiful crop. He's smarter than that. He knows that you're going to have a big crop. You got to plant what? A lot of seed. You take what you already have and you, by faith, invest it into the soil. Pray and get the harvest when it's all said and done. Simple. We can understand that from a farmer's point of view. So I want you to think about this. When we give to God's causes, when we give to the things that God is doing, for example, like in missions or in the ministry or the church or in the construction of buildings, these type of things, we're investing in it. So what do we need to do? Sprinkle just a couple of seeds and hope it all works out well? Or do we give as much as we can and watch God bless it? I want to encourage you to ask God to show you how much you should invest in, if you will, God's gardens, because He's got a lot of gardens. He's got different places of ministry that we can count as gardens that He's going to bring forth a crop. That we're not building a building out here in order to tell the world, hey, man, don't we have a pretty building? That building is to make disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will go out and make more disciples. That's what the church is supposed to do. That's the whole purpose of the building. So that's not, the investment is not in bricks. It's in souls. If you can see that, it'll help. So you say, well, how much money should we invest in God's garden? Look at that verse of Scripture. Go back to it. He's going to, there we go. Every man according as he purposeth where? Purposeth, in other words, what he finds in his heart. So what does your heart tell you? What does his heart tell you? Well, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives within your heart. We read that a moment ago in 1 Corinthians. And He will tell you what to plant. Listen to the Holy Spirit who is in your heart, and He'll tell you how much. How much seed to invest. It may be a little. It may be less than what you thought, because He knows that you've got a big tragedy coming and it's going to wipe out your bank account. He'll say, no, don't put that much in. Just put a little bit, because you're going to need the rest of it. Or He may tell you to invest more than you thought you possibly could. And that's how it usually is. He reminds us it's not our money. It's not our bank balance. It's God's money that we're dealing with. He's just letting us use it. You know, your banker has no idea how much God has in his bank account. We don't either, except he said it's all his. And the banker doesn't know that, so they don't know how to do anything with God's money. But when we're giving from God's resources, things change. We don't have any reason to fear that we're going to exhaust his resources. We cannot do that if we're being obedient to him. So here we are, and we're to give as the Holy Spirit in our hearts directs us and tells us. That means you pray about it and say, God, show me what you want me to do to accomplish your purpose. Whether we're talking about missionaries around the world, missionaries in the United States, whether they're talking about East Ridge Baptist Church, whatever we're talking about, Holy Spirit, in me, show me what I should do. I want to give not grudgingly, but I want to give of what you want me to do. And the joy of the privilege is there. It says here that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it. When we're getting joy out of giving as He directs, God says, man, I love that. That's what I want my kids to do, because it honors me. It tells the world they're trusting me. And God gets the glory out of it. And when God gets the glory out of it, God loves it. He wants to see more of that happen. And what does He do? He blesses us, and we get joy out of it too. And it gives us, makes us cheerful givers. A moment ago I said, don't be stingy. you cheated out of God's blessing. But here we're talking about being a cheerful giver. And every time I've heard any preacher over the many, many years preach on this subject, they always like to give you the definition of the Greek word there, hilaros. Hilarious. It's more than just a smile on your face. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. I'm excited about what God's allowed me to give of His money to whatever this might be. And so when we give a God directs, we bring joy to God and to ourselves too. Stingy Christians or grouchy Christians? Generous Christians who give in obedience to the Lord are joyful Christians. Where does the joy come from? From God. It comes from Him. So we just say, Lord, thank you for the privilege. I don't know how this is speaking to your heart, but I trust it's not even speaking to everybody, but it's some of us. The Lord will be telling us what we need to do to bring joy to His heart and joy to ourselves and make us into hilarious givers, joyful Christians. Lord, what do you want me to do? Whatever God tells you, just do it. Just do what God says. And when you do whatever God says, He'll increase your joy. And no matter what subject we're talking about, whether it's money or something else, just do what God says and you'll be blessed. Quick question. What do you need to give to please God and increase your joy? That's for you to take home and you to get with God and let Him show you. Okay, I don't have the answer to that. And you may already have the answer, you may not. And we're not taking up an offering in this service. But there will be offerings taken up every service after this. I can tell you two things that He wants you to give. Yourself and your obedience. Amen. He wants you. Far more than money, God wants you. Give yourself to Him. When you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, give yourself to Him. I belong to you, God. Everything about me belongs to you. I remember reading that in Psalm just a moment ago in 24th Psalm, the first verse. The whole earth and everything in it belongs to you, including me. And I remember reading about it a little bit further on over there. The Spirit of God dwells within me. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I belong to the Lord. I was bought with a price. Yeah. So I recognize that, and I intentionally, daily, give myself over to you. Give the control of my life over to you. That's what God wants. It's not what's in your wallet. It's not what's in your bank account. That's not what really matters. What really matters is you. Who do you belong to? If you don't belong to God, who do you belong to? There's not too many alternatives. And you really don't want to belong to anybody except God. So be prepared to give yourself totally over to Him, completely, every aspect of your life. And you'll be glad you did. You'll be blessed with a whole new life, the Bible says. You become a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. You're born again. You're spiritually alive. You have an eternity in heaven just waiting for you. When you give yourself totally over to Him, don't mess up that opportunity. If you've never, ever done that, you need to be sure that you have. And that's why we give an invitation at every service to come say, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. I want Him to take control. I want to belong to Him. And whatever I got, it's His too. It's His too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You that You love us enough to provide everything that we need. And Father, You've richly blessed us. Oh, by the world standards, we may think we got a little to have a lot, but it's all Yours. And we have You and You have us. Father, I pray for those that might be here today who have never publicly trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they need to do it today. Help them. Give them the faith that it takes just to come forward and say, I'm trusting Jesus to save me now. Thank You, Father. Father, for Christians that maybe have wandered away from You and not been obedient to You and not served You the way they should, oh, may each one of us best bow down before You and say, I belong to You, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been acting like it. The world hasn't been able to see it. Forgive me and change me. Father, if there's anybody here today that You want to have join this church, and I pray that You'll have them make that move. Whatever it is, Lord, we want to be obedient to You in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.